Happy. Although, he certainly. Ajaha, unborn. Avyaktaha, unmanifest. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Prakritehe, to material nature. Paraha, transcendental. Swamaya, of his own energy. Gunam, material qualities. Avishya, entering. Bhajya, obligation. Badakataam, the condition of being obliged. Gataha, accepts. So translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore he is called Nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations, apparently, like a conditioned soul. So purport by Snivangre Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So-called attachment, detachment, and obligations pertain to the material nature, which is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever the Lord descends and acts in this material world, he does so in his spiritual position. Although his activities materially appear different, spiritually, they are absolute and non-different. Thus, it is an imposition upon the Supreme Lord to say that he is envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 11, the Lord clearly says, Avijja nanti mam muta manushim tanam ashutam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in his spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, he is never influenced by the material qualities. He is always free from such qualities, but he appears to act under material influence. This understanding is aropita, or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam. Whatever he does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Evam yo veti tatvataha. Only devotees can understand the truth of how he acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone, but because of imperfect vision, influenced by material qualities, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna, and when one does so, he becomes a muda, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth, one becomes devoted and nirguna, free from material qualities. Simply by understanding the activities of Krishna, one can become transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world. Chaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam iti sorjuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up his material body. So, nirgunopi yajo vyakto bhagavan prakate pataka sumaya gunam havishya bhajya bada katham kataha. Okay, so om gana timirandasha gananjana shilakaya chakshur meditam yena tosmai shi gurave namaha. So, of course, this is very bewildering for the atheist to see Krishna exhibit what they think are material qualities. In fact, even the devotees express astonishment at this. There's this famous verse by Queen Kunti and the teachings of Queen Kunti, where she describes that Krishna is feared by fear personified. So who is fear personified? Fear personified is actually like Yamaraj. Because he's death. You know, when Yamaraj comes, it's pretty fearful. So Krishna is feared by Yamaraj. Fear in the sense that he's worshipped in awe and reverence by Yamaraj. Not that Yamaraj doesn't want to see Krishna because he's afraid of Krishna. But in other words, and all the aspects of the material nature, the demigods, they're actually fearful in the same way, like the wind and all the different aspects of material nature. So Queen Kunti says, he is feared by fear personified, yet he was afraid when Mother Yashoda threatened him with a stick. She was just like, she said, basically, I'm bewildered by seeing this. That Krishna, of course we know he broke the butter pots and created so many problems, and Mother Yashoda chased after him. This is Damodara Leela. We're coming upon the month of Kartik very soon. So Krishna was running away from Mother Yashoda, and he was crying, just like a little kid. You know, you understand that? Tears were pouring down, and he was shaking in fear. Mother Yashoda, and Mother Yashoda, of course, tied him up ultimately and tied him to the grinding mortar, and then the whole Damodara pastimes. So how do you deal with that when you see the Lord afraid? And no other theology, no other religion, no other spiritual path, do we find that God is fearful or afraid, right? Because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, what does he have to fear from anybody? In the Bhagavad Gita, he is exhibiting the universal form, and the universal form is described as time and also death. Everyone is rushing into the mouths of the universal form. So he's God. So you contrast these two things. How is it possible for someone who has this sort of power to be fearful? And the answer is, of course, Leela. Leela, of course, means play in Sanskrit. So Krishna is playing, but as he's playing, just like young children, they will play different games. I remember when I was young, we would play with cops and robbers or something like that. Nowadays, God knows what they play. Isn't it something horrible? So you had, you know, cops and robbers, or what, hide and go seek. You ever play this, hide and go seek? And we call it hide and go seek. Here you go, hide and seek. So anyway, so someone would hide somewhere, you can't find me, and they were really hiding. Or you have these different sporting games, like soccer or something like that. And then, you know, you're getting angry at the other side, right? When you play soccer, you get angry. But you're not really angry. It's not that you're going to kill them or anything. Of course, in some countries, they get so angry at the other side, they do actually have riots and kill people. But, you know, generally, it's a game. And after the game, you go and eat prasadam together, right? Like if Navadvipa was on the other side of the soccer team, you wouldn't just carry on your animosity or your anger after the game and refuse to talk to him. No, it's a game. So in the same way, Krishna is described as a theatrical artist. In other words, he has this game he plays, his leela. Of course, the leela is real, too. It's not simply that Krishna's pretending that he's in this thing, but that's his real life. His real life is enjoyed the intimate, loving exchanges with his devotees, unless he forgets that he's the Supreme Personality God and plays the game, plays the role. There's no question of ras. There's no taste. You can't have the conjugal ras. You can't have the sakya ras, the friendship ras, the vatsalya ras, the parental ras, or any of the intimate loving exchange. You could have servitude, of course, but only servitude and on reverence in relationship to God. And Krishna is not attracted by that. Krishna is not attracted by all that it's described. He's not attracted by the Vedic hymns or anything in comparison with the chastising of Mother Yashoda or the interactions with the gopis, where sometimes the gopis are chastising Krishna. Just like that story of the Dhananivartana Kunda story that some of you have heard, where Krishna, he was collecting taxes. The gopis were going to Govindakund. There was going to be a sacrifice. And while the gopis were going to Govindakund, Krishna's coward boys, they dressed up as tax collectors, and they stopped the gopis and said, "You cannot come here. You have to pay taxes." And it was a very interesting story. they asked, you know, who is this tax collector? And Krishna said, I am the king of Vrindavan. And they said, we do not even recognize him. You know, Vrinda said, I don't even know who this guy is. Of course she knew who it was Krishna. And then Krishna was demanding, like, exorbitant taxes. Just like last night, we were at dinner, and they're talking about the carbon tax. But Krishna was asking for mountains of jewels and diamonds, and he actually was taxing each part of the gopis' bodies. He said, for your beautiful eyes, you have to pay so many, you know, lakhs of rupees or lakhs of jewels or whatever it is. And for your mouth, and then he went all over Radharani's body and was actually taxing her for each aspect of her beautiful body. It's very interesting. And so then eventually what happened is it was agreed that the gopis would come back the next day and pay their taxes. But instead of paying their taxes, they paid Krishna back with the lati, you know, with the stick. Because they came back 10 million gopis, and they overpowered the coward boys, and they're beating Krishna. Can you imagine that? You know, call the police, you know, beating God. And they tied Krishna and the coward, not real hard, obviously, it was just playful. So they tied Krishna and the coward boys up to trees, and they were like holding the sticks up like that and threatening them. So in this way, you actually see that Krishna is exchanging different flavor, rasa, intimate loving exchanges based on the fact that he's forgetting he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's all done under the influence of Yogamaya. Just like we have in this world, we have something called Mahamaya. What Mahamaya does is it keeps us from understanding our constitutional position. You know, we think we're the body, we think we're Indians or Americans or whatever the designation we have, upadhi we have. And we become completely bewildered. We forget we're servants of Krishna. That's Mahamaya. She just really cheats us. But Yogamaya acts in the spiritual realm. She's the spiritual potency of the Lord that bewilders even the Supreme Lord. Voluntarily, he accepts her bewilderment so we can have these loving exchanges. Another example of that would be the pastime of Agasura. Agasura was this big snake demon. I think you all know that pastime. And the coward boys, he was like a cave. So big he was like a cave. He had a big fishy smell coming from his mouth. Bad breath. So the coward boys, they marched into the mouth of Agasura. And when Krishna saw that, it's described he became bewildered. He didn't know what to do. So eventually, of course, he marched into the mouth too, expanded his body, choked Agasura up, and killed the demon and rescued the coward boys. But still, you find that period of bewilderment before he acts, which is really interesting. So what this does is flavor relationships, and flavor the pastimes. Because if Krishna was always remembering and acting as God, then what would be the interesting pastimes? I mean, just like the pastimes of Lord Vishnu. I mean, they may be a little interesting, but it's really not. You're not going to sit down and read bedtime stories about Lord Vishnu, are you? Not really. I mean, maybe about Lord Ram, because there's some more intimacy in Ram's pastimes. And Ram also forgets that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he can interact. Of course, there's much more reverence, on reverence in Ram's pastimes. But as far as when God or Krishna is acting as God, it's not, you know, what do? What do you hear about? It's not that attractive. Unless it's only attractive when one wants something from God. You know, when someone is praying to God, as the Christians do, like Prabhupada said, give us this day our daily bread. You know that saying. Then you turn God into an order supplier, then you can just focus on the opulence of God. But if you really want to love God, you have to focus on God in his intimate interactions where he forgets that he's God. And then he becomes lovable. You know, I've never really heard it said about Lord Vishnu that he is lovable. He's attractive, yes. He's beautiful, but lovable is something that's much more, isn't it? Something much more intimate. Anyone ever say Lord Vishnu is cute? I've never heard that expression. Yeah. Or Lord Vishnu is a rascal. You know, so these are all interactions or viewpoints that create intimate love. When someone's cute, someone's a rascal, someone's tricky. No one ever says, Lord Vishnu, you know, he's a liar or he's tricky or anything like that. Because you'd be afraid to say that. You know, imagine walking into a Christian church, Catholic church, and say, you know, your God is a cheater and a liar and debauchee. You know what to speak of debauchee. You know what debauchee means? No. Debauchee means someone who is not faithful to his wife and running around with a whole bunch of other ladies. That's a debauchee. You know, say, hey, your God is just like running around with a whole bunch of ladies. You know, he's not following regulated principles. So it's quite boring. I remember going into whether church or temples when I was young, and God was always worshipped in an awe and reverent way, and it was extremely boring. So boring that when I went into the services, I would always take a comic book with me to read. I would put it inside the Bible, and I'd rather read about Superman. You know Superman? I've heard of him before. I'd rather read about him, and in this way I was able to keep my attention span, you know, just stay alert. Because it's not interesting. So, anyway, Krishna is very interesting. Krishna has a good time. Krishna enjoys it much more like that. But people get bewildered. Avishanandi mam mutam. And they think that Krishna is an ordinary person because he's carrying out his obligations. He's getting bewildered. And they don't really understand the transcendental nature of rasa, or the loving exchange, or the taste of the loving exchanges. Anyway, so see, these are some of the points we can get from this verse in purport. So any questions or comments? Keep it short since you have to work today. Questions, comments, arguments? So we should relish it. Just like I was with one person, actually, who passed away last night. And the devotee... This morning, okay. So, Ram Govinda, I was with him, and I was telling the devotees how to read to him or have him hear a transcendental sound. They were just gonna read the Bhagavad Gita, you know, how you're not the body, to him. And I said, no. You read the pastimes of Krishna at this particular point. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita is very nice because it gives us the philosophy, the sambandha, and, you know, abhideya. But when one is wants to be absorbed in Krishna, then you go to the prayojana, you know, the pastimes of Krishna. So I said, you should read from Krishna book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagwat to him. In this way, he can fix his mind on Krishna, the person. So that's really important. When we talk about fixing the mind on Krishna, it means Krishna as a person. His nama, his guna, his rupa, and ultimately the lila. The Leela of the Lord. So these descriptions should always be that. We have our philosophy, but the philosophy is to help us concentrate on the Leela. That's the goal. The philosophy is to help like that. Like the residents of Vrindavan, they're not thinking philosophically. They're absorbed in Leela. And the pure devotees of the Lord, they'll speak the philosophy to attract people to Krishna. And they relish the philosophy, but they're actually concentrating on the Leela internally. That's the juice, that's the nectar. Okay? And that's our goal. Be absorbed in Krishna Leela internally. All right? No questions? No comments?
Question. When we talk about the transcendental qualities, how does one living in a material world, only his experience of material things, try to understand the transcendental qualities, which is beyond...
Yeah, it's very difficult because there's this point, like Prabhupada mentions the word here, superimposition, which the psychological term is actually projection, where you see someone else doing something and you think that that person is doing that for the same reasons, motivation, that you would be doing it. Like, for example, we see Krishna dancing with the gopis and we think, you know, if I was doing that, you know, just it would be lust. So therefore, we're thinking internally, or at least that is our vision, that it's lust. So that's called projection or superimposition, because that's the term Prabhupada uses. Superimposition of the material qualities, what you have experienced, or another Another interesting Sanskrit expression in that regard is Atmavat Manate Jagat. That one sees the whole world, Manate Jagat, like oneself and thinks that everybody is like oneself. Atmavat Manate Jagat. So in the beginning, it's like that. So therefore, we hear without any judgment. We have to just hear and not be very, and we have to be very careful about not projecting our own understanding, or else the pastimes, the intimate pastimes of Krishna may increase our lust instead of decreasing the lust. That's why Prabhupada said, the sahajas, instead of becoming purified, they become putrefied. Putrefied means, everyone knows what putrefied means? Like rotting, smelling, this is a putrefied piece of, what even vegetables can become putrefied, and the worms are crawling in. You can just picture in your mind, like worms crawling in and out of some rotted piece of garbage. That's putrefaction. So, the same Krishna can talk and have that effect. And also what that means, we should hear Krishna Katha from the lips of a pure devotee. Because if we hear from someone else, let's say we go, sometimes there's these Bhagavad Saptaha performances where people are interested financially, or they're just like thinking lustfully about Krishna's past and they just want to hear the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And they become stimulated materially. And it's like a vibhava. Vibhava means that which stimulates you. It stimulates you to act and think materially when you hear about Krishna's passing. You become more lusty. So that's why it's very important not to hear things that we're not ready for. Because there's many aspects of Krishna's pastimes, even that are written by pure devotees, we're not ready to hear. Like the Gita Govinda, for example, which is a book that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would read and hear regularly. The Gita Govinda deals with such intimate pastimes of Krishna and really like what we would consider to be physical manifestations of intimate pastimes, touching different parts of the bodies and everything like that, that wouldn't even be shown in the movies, basically, unless it was a pornographic movie. So when you hear these things, it can damage your spiritual life. Therefore, you have a book like the Govinda Lilamrita, which Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur wanted to publish, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur denied him the right to publish that book. And he asked him several times, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, several times whether he could publish, and finally Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you can only publish one copy of it. You're the only one qualified to read it. Can you imagine that? Unfortunately, nowadays, many people who are not even chanting Hare Krishna, 16 rounds, are reading these literatures which are meant for the most advanced devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would only discuss intimate pastimes with like 3.5 associates. So we have to be very careful. With certain pastimes, I just too, we say explicit. Explicit means just like detailed. Just too detailed for us to read at the present time. When we come advanced, that's a different thing. When we understand janma karma cha me divyam, these things are transcendental. Not just understand theoretically, but understand and realize. Then you can delve into these things. When you become free from anarthas, and then you can start to think about those things. But right now, it's very dangerous. So we have Prabhupada's presentation of the pastimes. Vrindavan Das Thakur's presentation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's presentation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. We have so many Leela books that are not dangerous for us at this point. And so we should read those and hear them from Krishna's pure devotees. Then we're pretty much protected. And also the purports. The purports protect us because Prabhupada gives a philosophical explanation. So therefore we can see through the words of Krishna's pure devotees. And there's always caution there. A lot of caution when you're dealing with these things. And we should appreciate all of Krishna's pastimes, not just the pastimes of Vrindavan, but the pastimes Lord Ram's. I regularly hear Lord Ram's pastimes, where there's none of that intimate stuff in Lord Ram's pastimes. Of course, some parts of Lord Ram's pastimes I don't like, such as when he exiles Sita. I mean, I have to be honest, some things are just like too painful to read. In the Ramayana, isn't it? And poor Sita, I mean, she's sent away and she's blameless, she's pure, And just because some rascal citizen had to say something. And then finally, she has to enter into the earth because they've just abused her, basically. Isn't it? And here's someone who's absolutely, absolutely, positively pure. And you're asking her to declare in front of the whole assembly that she's pure? It's an insult. It's like slapping someone in the face. So you can see that when I think about these things, certain emotions arise. And these are transcendental, too. You know, you can become angry at a pastime, too. It's not that I'm thinking mundanely, but, you know, I just don't like that happened. It's just, it's horrible. You know, and many devotees take that mood. So there's different moods you can have. You don't just have to say, I really like it that Sita Devi was exiled. I mean, you know, some devotees are like that. You know, it's really wonderful that she was exiled. No, it's not. I wish Lord Ram had done something different. But that's not sahajism. That's simply emotional involvement in the Lord's pastimes. And the gopis also criticize Krishna for his pastimes when he's Lord Ram. They even said, they criticize him and Lakshman for defacing or abusing poor Sarpanaka. And so the gopi said, you know, this poor girl, she appeared, she came to you, and she was just in love. And what did you do to this poor girl? You cut off her nose and ears. And of course, I don't feel bad about that. Now, Sarpanaka, she later, you know who she later appeared as? She later came as Kubja or something like that. And she got a chance to be with Krishna. So she got her desires fulfilled. That's all right. But Sarpanaka, anyway, so there are all these pastimes are there. So you can have different varied emotions when you hear the pastimes. But you should never project your material understanding onto the Lord's form, pastimes, or anything like that. It's not that. I mean, for example, even Krishna exhibits blood. When Grandfather Bhishma was firing arrows at Arjuna, even Krishna exhibited blood. Can you imagine that? And so you think, oh, Krishna is mundane. No. This is simply his playful pastimes to evoke the chivalrous spirit, because he had that chivalrous indirect. Chivalry is one of the indirect rasas with Grandfather Bhishma. And Prabhupada describes that Krishna experienced it just like that lover's bite, you know, the wounds like that. It's interesting. I mean, it's very interesting, but you have to hear from the acharyas to understand these things. Okay, I think we have to end because time to work. Jai, all glorious to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.